Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you with us here this morning. The number to call after we open the phone lines is 541-472-1270. Now, it is the fourth Tuesday of the month, and that means the fourth Tuesday of every month has been traditionally reserved for the Josephine County Commissioners. However, we have no commissioners on site right now, and I don't know if they're just running late or if they're going to miss today's meeting, but we've had no official information from them. So that being said, we'll just let you know that they do have a meeting coming up this afternoon. Their administrative workshop, and there are a couple of things of interest there that might interest you right now. A legal counsel update will include the county real property located at 200 Northwest C Street. Now, there was no other information available on that, but that's the address for Josephine Community Library. So that's at 200 Northwest C Street. That's on. They'll also be talking about commercial real estate property known as the Demick Campus, which has been, I believe they're trying to get it listed with a particular real estate company. A couple of other things later on in the business. The American Mineral Research Incorporated application for a mining lease will be up for discussion also. There is a small space in the conference room at the board, but basically it will be streamed, and that would probably be the way to watch it if you're interested. So at this point, what we'll do is we'll just open the phone lines and see if you have a comment or a question about what's going on here in Josephine County. And so the phone lines are open once again at 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. There are a couple of things to mention. In the last Commissioner's Talk Show, it got fairly animated here on this end, and Grants Pass Media Events posted something that I think I need to reply to, although there doesn't seem to be many comments on that one. I think they had maybe 10 people watching, but it said that KJO's radio talk show allegedly cut off the microphones of Josephine County Commissioners during on-air discussions. Not allegedly. We cut them off. just because everybody was talking over everybody else and there was no decorum and it was impossible to understand anything. So that was that particular situation there. Just wanted to clear that up. We do not stack phone calls. We do not screen the phone calls before they come in. So that is certainly off the table there. We have cut off people before, once before anyway, once again for the same reason, talking over everybody and using calling people names. So that has never been the situation here on the KAJO Tuesday talk show. It is categorized as a non-adversarial situation here. We're just looking to share information on what is going on in the county and in the city and things of interest to all of you, our listeners. So that's the status here, and that's what we'll maintain. However, we do add that we will not tolerate anything out of, being certainly nice on the air, everything should be courteous. Whether the discussion is lively and controversial, that's fine, and that's encouraged. Your thoughts are welcome here, as long as they're presented in a courteous manner. So that's the situation. Once again, 541-472-1270 if you have a question or comment. Lots of things going on around town, and we don't have to talk about just what is going on locally. The national scene, of course, is an uproar also, so there's always something to talk about if you're interested. So give us a call here if you have a particular point of view on something that is going on in the town. The recall is certainly a topic of discussion, and let me say that I'm very disheartened about some of the conduct that I've seen around. And I'm not sure it's which side it's coming from or if it's coming from both sides. But once again, decorum is the proper way to handle that. So that's what we've got going on here. Once again, 541-472-1270. If you want to talk about the library, the recall, what's going on with commissioners, what's going on with the city, as a matter of fact, is everybody's involved. The Republican Party seems to be split. If you want to talk about that, we've got the room right here on KAJO Radio. Let me see here. I believe we have a commissioner arriving here. And, yes, it's, Ron Smith, I believe is in. We'll just wave him right on in. And come on in. Welcome, Ron. Hang on. Get seated. All right. All right. Take a deep breath. There you go. All right, Mr. Smith, and we got it right this time.
Yes,
Ron.
Thank you,
okay,
Chuck.
Okay. Welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. What's happening with you and the county commissioners today?
Well, there's a lot of things. We've got a big meeting this afternoon. A whole bunch on the agenda. The library's on the agenda, for one thing, just to let everybody know that. Many other things.
All right. The library's on the agenda. It's under... I've got the agenda for this afternoon's meeting. Go ahead and take a deep breath. You're pretty quick getting in here. It's under the legal counsel update, county real property at 200 Northwest C Street. I assume
Correct.
That's what you're talking about.
Correct.
Can you give us any more information on that and what will be discussed?
Well, the legal counsel has worked up a new draft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the library board has looked at it, but we, the commissioners, are going to look at it this afternoon. I think it's very, it's a very good contract for all concerned.
All right. I believe I've seen it.
Yes.
I'm not sure the library has. In fact, Kate Lansky called me this yesterday afternoon and said she had not seen it, but it came into our email.
Well, I'm sure that they've got it by now.
Okay. Well, they I certainly believe that they do.
Okay.
At any rate, you believe it's a pretty good situation?
I think the big stumbling block before with the last draft that we actually passed was the 30-day convenience clause.
Right.
That's not in this one.
Right. Now, I've gone through – I haven't read every word, but I have looked at it, and I was unable to find that particular draft. Let me just pull it up here real quickly and make sure that we're all talking about the same thing. Honestly. The draft is, 10, 15 pages long?
It is. It's pretty long.
but that's not unusual with all the legalese that you have to go through here.
No, it's not.
All right, now I'm reading here, and tell me if I'm correct. Under termination, and this is under paragraph or section 15.
Correct.
In the event of a default obligations under this lease, the non-defaulting party may terminate the lease by giving to the defaulting party written notice of intent to terminate at least 30 days prior to the effective date of termination. Written notice shall specify the nature of the breach with particularity. If the breach specified in the notice cannot be completely cured within the 30-day period, but curative action is undertaken with reasonable diligence in good faith to cure the breach as soon as practical, then such breach shall not constitute a default. Non-payment of rent by lessee or failure to repair the roof by county shall be grounds to give notice of default. And then point 15.1, in the event of a default before a party may bring an action in any court concerning this agreement, such party must first make a good faith effort to resolve the issue through mediation, negotiation, or other non-binding alternative dispute resolution pending final. I'm outnumbered. That's it, basically.
That is pretty standard for leases. Now, a lot of contracts that we do with state agencies, they have that 30-day convenience clause in there. But I've looked at all the dollar leases that we have. None of the other dollar leases have that 30-day convenience clause in there.
Okay, all right.
So this one does not have that in there.
That email that we received had the revised situation with the previous lease that they had, and that did have the convenience clause in it, but it's now deleted.
That's deleted.
Okay. So what? How soon do we expect to have this really acted on by the council?
It could be done today. It could be done today.
The council will has, and you said that the library has seen it?
Well, they
approved it?
I'm pretty sure that the legal counsel has forwarded it to them.
Okay.
I think he forwarded it to them at the same time that he forwarded it to the board.
Okay. All that being said, let's see. So your vote is this afternoon to pass this?
Well, it'll come up before the board.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Do you need a moment?
No. I got it.
Okay. We were in such a hurry this morning to get you in here. We forgot to silence our phones, which is always standard procedure.
That'll be done.
Okay. Now, in terms of finances for that, and let me once again go back to the draft, and this is from the county legal counsel, Mr. Hicks. and said the latest draft, let's see, along with the red line draft against the 2017 lease, the payment that the library agreed to make the county toward the roof is now classified as rent, making the total rent $27,687. Yeah, $27,687 for 5 years. The county continues to be responsible for replacing the roof. The cost for that $64,000 with a 30-year product warranty, so the rent is calculated as follows. Okay, here we go.
No.
This is high math for me, so $64,000-$20,424 maintenance fund equals $43,576. Divide that by the remainder by 30 years. That's $1,453 a year. Multiply that payment by 5 years equals $7,263. Add to that the $20,424, which is the prepayment on the total rent, $27,687 total rental requirement over 5 years with annual payments due of $1,453 a year. Is that all correct? Is that what's going to be voted in? That is correct.
Let me go back to the beginning of this thing for myself as a commissioner. Before I was sworn in, after the election, I was allowed, along with Mr. Barnett, to sit in on executive sessions. Okay, that's where these kind of leases and contracts are usually discussed. So when the library lease came up, there was a discrepancy in that lease compared to the other dollar a year leases in that all our other dollar leases, the lessee is required to do complete maintenance on the building, exterior and interior. But the library was not. They were only required to do interior. So I saw a discrepancy there in these executive sessions before I was a commissioner, that there was, they were getting a deal better than everybody else. And so my contention was that they should probably be responsible for the whole maintenance of the building with a dollar a year lease. And I think that's been worked out, and I think it's fair now. It's not a cost to the county. Where before, with us doing outside maintenance, it was a cost to the county. Now there's no cost to the county. So I'm happy with this agreement.
All right. Well, good. Now let's go back and check some history here, first of all. And this may be where a lot of the confusion comes from, because I'm under the impression that their initial lease, before it was the Josephine Community Library, that by charter, the commission was to support the library.
Yeah, that's in the charter.
That's in the charter.
Yes.
Okay. Does changing from county library to community library change that?
You need to ask a lawyer for that question.
Okay.
Because in my opinion, this library is library.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason these entities, these different ones, get this dollar a year lease is because of their community service that they offer. Okay, the YMCA gets a dollar a year lease in a great facility there because the service that they render to the county. And same thing with Options. Options makes a lot of money, but they get a dollar a year lease. And that's because the service they render to the county. If it wasn't for Options, we'd have to have a mental health department. But because they've taken that over, the county's not burdened with the mental health. And same with the library. They're offering a service to the community. So now that it's all fair, no cost to the county, I think we're at the right place.
All right. Ron, there's one more entity about this library thing that I want to explore here because I'm unfamiliar with it in that there is a levy for the library.
Yes.
Voters voted that in. And I understand that money now goes into the county general fund. Is that correct? And how is that managed?
No, that money goes to the library. They're a taxing district.
Right.
So the taxing district gets that money. Right. The county really
does. That's something to come out, and that's what we needed to clarify.
Yeah. We don't get the money. It's like any other taxing district. It's like GPID. They're a taxing district. That money doesn't come to the county. That goes to GPID. And now we have the law enforcement taxing district. That goes strictly for law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
It does come to the county because the law enforcement is part of the county. But the library is not part of the county. They're a community library. So that money goes to them.
Okay.
We can't play with that money, if that's what you're asking.
All right. Well, those are things that I've seen come up during this whole controversy, whatever it is. Now, when will – you said it will be voted on this afternoon by the commissioners.
I said it can be.
It can be voted on this afternoon by the commissioners.
Be.
So we don't have a hard date when everything will be finalized yet.
Well
– soon, we hope.
Well, very soon. I think we've reached the point in the lease agreement that it is fair and is consummate and in line with the other dollar year leases that we have. Okay. So that's where I stand on this.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your stance. Appreciate that. Other thing, let's talk about the Demick campus. Now, what is happening with the Demick campus?
Well, let's understand something that we as a newly elected commissioner get. We get to inherit a lot of stuff.
I understand.
And so we inherited this Demick campus. This all goes back even to many, many boards ago
two or three boards easily.
When they failed to fix the roof on that old hospital. And then it got mold, and it had asbestos in there. So somewhere along the line, they decided it would be better just to tear it down. Well, in the tear-down process, that building was so strong. It was a building I was born in. My son was born in that building.
I did. I was in that building.
Yeah. It was never
as a patient. But
it was so strong, they couldn't tear it down.
At the time, the engineers were saying it has strong bones.
It was built so well. I wish we would have go back in history and change that, fix the roof, remediate the asbestos, and turn that into a community asset. Now it's just a big blank spot on the ground.
All right. Now there are other areas with the Demick campus. There are a couple of structures there that we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, we have a community development,
mm-hmm.
and we also have our public health there.
All right. Now the community development is across the street in those
correct,
high-rises.
That's part of the campus, and mm-hmm. then public health is right next door.
Right.
So it creates a little bit of a challenge for the county in that if that campus were to sell, in fact, if you look at the agenda, it the item's on there too.
Yeah, it is. It is.
We're given exclusive rights to a real estate company to attempt to sell that property for us.
All right. Now, that's what we're deciding today is if we're going to give that exclusive listing to the
yes, in hopes that it sells, but in a way, where do we go from here with those two departments? And public health is a pretty big department, so it's community development. So we have to figure out where they're going to go. And the idea of trying to fit them into that community library building, I don't think that would ever work. It's just not
big enough, is it?
Well, it would take an extensive remodel just to get community development in there. You're not going to get public health in there, too.
Right.
So here we are. We inherited these problems, Chuck, right. So now we've got to find out a way to deal with them.
Just on the Demick campus, do you have any other hard information? What kind of acreage are we talking about here?
There's several parcels. It's listed on there. There's so many of them, I can't keep track of them all. But it's a big campus. I think it's, I don't know, somewhere 20 acres, something like that.
Have we had an estimate on what the value is or
well,
what we expect?
We're trying to sell it for about $3 million.
Okay. Is $3 million a bargain?
It depends on if you're the buyer.
I suppose, yeah.
I mean, that's up to the buyer. You know, it depends on what your plans are with that. I mean, you know, you inherit so much of this stuff from previous boards that it takes a while to read through this stuff, Chuck. It really does.
I understand. Do we have an idea of what we'd like to see go there? Can you put parameters on what you'd like to see developed there?
Well, I don't think that's really what we care about. We care about – see, we have a bond we have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start having to pay on $1 million bond for that teardown of that hospital. And that's what we're trying to avoid here. If we could sell that campus, we could clear up that bond and move on. We don't care what goes there. If we sell it, the buyer is going to decide what goes there.
All right. Are we talking with the city, as a matter of fact, onto what zoning and what can go there? Is that part of the discussion, or
not at this time? I think that's going to depend on the buyer. I mean that's part of the problem is finding a buyer that would be willing to invest that kind of money in something in that area.
See what kind of return they can get on it.
Yeah, I don't know because it is surrounded by a residential area, so I don't know. Good question, Chuck. I don't have the answer for them.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking for the answers in the future. Because
yeah.
I know there are hard answers there. Also on the agenda this, under board business is the American Mineral Research Incorporated, the application for the mining lease on the St. Peter mine property. Do we have any other information on that?
That's a tough one for me to talk about because there's litigation.
Okay. Let me see. How do I get around that?
I'm not at liberty to speak about it. I'm sorry.
Okay. But it's not under executive session this afternoon, or at least it's not listed as under executive session.
Well, this has been discussed pretty heavily. We had a large, long meeting last week with the entities involved in this.
Okay, all right. Well, that's one we'll keep an eye out for.
Yeah. I got to understand, I really can't talk about it.
Oh, no, I certainly understand when it comes to situations like that, the legal handcuffs.
Oh, that's it, legal handcuffs.
Okay, all right. What are your constituents telling you right now? Are you hearing from the public?
Yeah, a little bit. I think we got a divided community right now. I mean, it should be obvious to everybody the community is rather divided. The large group appreciates what we do. You're never going to be able to please everybody. The day you think you're going to please everybody is the day you're making a mistake. So no matter what your decisions are, you're always going to have some unhappy. And, so that's where we're at with the community. I think we've got a lot of people to support the commissioners. I think we've done some good things. I think it'll come out in the future here about some of the positives we have done. Some people look at the things we've done as negatives. Some look at them as positives.
What do you point out a positive for me?
A positive?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, the early retirement program is paid for itself already.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's all paid up. I mean, we'll start saving money in that area. Right, so that's a positive.
That was initially about a buyout of about the number of pops in my mind is about over a little over $700,000.
Yeah, but that's already been recovered.
That's already been recovered.
Yeah.
All right, and just explain how that works. Those people are retired now, and we have other people in those positions with not the same longevity, and therefore a lower salary.
Yes, that's how that works, and it's been a little bit of restructuring. We got away from the liaison between departments because there was a problem in that setup because the commissioner that was the liaison would become pretty cushy with that department head, and after a while things would be allowed to slide and things policies would be able to sidestep policies. So that we got rid of that policy. Now we're bringing every department before the board to give us an accounting of where the department's at. And we've had most of them come before the board already.
Right. And that's a good thing for you, because I know that system had been set up for years and years and years, long before I began to cover the county back in, I won't even say what year, so long ago.
Yeah. It was a long-term system, but, sometimes change is hard for people. You know, we all get set in our ways and we like the comfortable way things are, but, you know, the times are changing. You know, looking at what's coming down out of the feds right now as far as grant money, and, I mean, the state's being sued by the feds right now over immigration policy and lack of turning over voter rolls. I mean, if these grant fundings, and this is what we were concerned about in the budget process, if this grant funding begins to dry up, a lot of grants come from the feds right through to the state down to the county. 70% of our budget is grants and fees. If we're already strapped as far as the county compared to what we would have had when we had timber receipts, you know, and so we're running on bare bones here. So as commissioners, we're responsible for operations, and we're responsible to make sure the county can stay solvent and good into the future. So we have to look at how the structure is, and is there a way to streamline this structure, make it more efficient, more frugal, and more responsive to the citizens of the county? That's a tough job.
All right. No question about it, because you've really got to look at a couple of places. First, internally, which I believe you've done or continue to do. And let's talk about that federal funding, the grant funding right now. Some of those streams have certainly dried up, and we've seen that happen both with the city and the county. What's the status there as far as you know right now in terms of federal funding coming in?
Well,
are we down? Are we,
we haven't seen a lot of it drying up yet. But, you know, the grants are the things that spurred out there on the time frame. I don't see too much in that way. That's why I was willing to give law enforcement everything he needed. I think in my book, law enforcement is the number one primary duty of any government because public safety is our primary duty. That's why we establish governments. So I wasn't afraid to give the sheriff what he needed. I figured if those dry up, we can do something with them later. But why make it happen today if it doesn't have to? You know, so it's not sure what's going to happen. I mean, we're going to wait and see what a lot of litigation happens between the state and the feds. But it's more of their battle But unfortunately, if that battle goes bad, then we'll be a casualty.
Well, we'll be the casualty.
That's right. We will be, unfortunately.
Boy, this first half hour has just flown by, Ron. I'm behind the clock right now, so stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with more. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. The phone lines are open. The number to call is 541-472-1270 if you have a question or comment for our guest today. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. And welcome once again to the microphones of KAJ. We don't have a quorum today, but we do have County Commissioner Ron Smith with us. And Ron, just before we had to go away to the news, we were talking. We started to talk about the sheriff and his funding right now. And yeah. I know you were instrumental in getting the sheriff what he needed.
Yes.
What is the status of the sheriff's department right now? Because I know that they were looking to amp up and get 24-hour patrols, but you just don't do that overnight.
Unfortunately, what's happening within the sheriff's department is, you know, it's been an ongoing problem with the county sheriff's department where they get somebody in, they train them, they become a deputy in there, and then they leave for higher pay someplace. That's still happening today. Unfortunately, I know that two patrolmen, county deputy sheriffs, are now leaving to become state patrol, and our number one detective in JMED is leaving to go work for ICE. So it's an ongoing problem to keep that department staffed at the pay rate that we can pay them. And I'm 100% for law enforcement. I believe that Dave Daniels is a good sheriff, and he's working the best he can with what he's got.
So we're training them, and then they're leaving, basically.
Well, they can get paid more someplace else.
And I certainly understand
that. You can't blame them for that, you know. Everybody's got to take care of their family. So
certainly. Is there any way to help that particular situation? Are we talking pay increases? Do we have to go through lots of different things?
Yeah.
How much money are we talking?
I don't know about the amount of money we're talking, but it would sure help if the county had more funding coming in, because since timber receipts have died out, it's been an ongoing problem, and this is nothing different than any other community. You know, if you were a New England fishing village and you lost the right to fish, your community would do what happened here if they turned to drugs and crime. And that's what's happening in Josephine County. We lost our commodity that built this community, and that was timber.
Right.
And when we lost that, you can see the increase in drugs and the increase in crime. It's just like Appalachia when the coal mines got shut down. They had a real problem. Their communities turned to drug, alcohol, and crime. And it's no different here with Josephine County.
All right, let's get to the timber resources in a moment or two. But before we get away from the sheriff, there are a couple of questions that I did want to ask.
Okay.
And first of all, following the horrible situation around Charlie Kirk, following that situation, I know there was some confusion or some conversations within the commissioner's office about not allowing people into Ambassador Auditorium, but that went away. And I was under the impression that there was also, in conjunction with that, perhaps a local threat or the appearance of a local threat happened at the courthouse. Is that valid? Anything you can confirm there was for us?
Without getting into names or any description, there was an irate person outside the commissioner's office that was causing a commotion. Okay. I don't know much more about that. I did see the video. I didn't hear the audio to it. But I think it was a heightened concern nationwide of violence becoming more of the norm, which I'm opposed to. And
yeah,
so
it's horrible what we're seeing out there. Yes.
Yes. There's just way too much violence. Now I see Trump is going to make classify Antifa as a terrorist organization. I don't know if you're aware of what's been going on with Portland and their ICE riots, their rioting over immigration. But we don't
see that daily on the national news.
We really don't want that to come to Josephine County. We really want to try to stop that violence from coming here. There's no call for it, but some people, when they don't get their way, they, like a kid throwing a tantrum, they turn to violence, which I hope we don't see in this community.
All right. To that end, I know the board requested or was going to the sheriff to see about posting a deputy inside during business session meetings. Has that transpired?
Yes. We had a deputy at our last WBS, weekly business session, and he's offered to have a deputy there at each one. I told the sheriff, I said, I envision this to be very temporary. I don't see this being, you know, a long-term thing, because it's not normal throughout the counties within the state to have that. But we do have private security there. But, I mean, you know, it's not quite the same as having a uniformed officer there.
So we do have private security there?
We have private security on the county, on the campus of the
a lot
of that has to do with the courts.
Yeah, I understand.
The courts are very much the courts are very much more tighter on their facility than the county is part of it. We don't have a lot to do with the courts. Courts more of a state function.
All right, I understand. And at least for the foreseeable future, there is going to be a deputy at the weekly business sessions.
Yeah, and like I said, I envision that to be very, very, very temporary.
All right. We started to move into the timber harvest for Josephine County here, mm-hmm. and I know you're a strong advocate for more harvest there. What's your position right now? Where are we right now? Are we making any money at all?
We got, from our OMC money, we got about $3 million, which is a drop in the bucket compared to the 15.5 we used to get. So that since that shutdown and the lack of willingness of the taxpayers to have their taxes increase, which I can understand they're thinking on that. But our real problem, Chuck, is how small our tax base is. And I like to compare Jackson County to Josephine County. Josephine County, 69% controlled by the feds, no taxes. Jackson County, twice as big, with only 50% controlled by the feds. Josephine County, two incorporated cities in their urban growth boundaries for our taxes. Jackson County, 11 cities with urban growth boundaries and taxes. They never have a problem funding anything. We always have a problem funding everything because we only have 8.7% of the land as private property taxed at the full tax rate. And we have the lowest tax rate in the state. And I hope people aren't looking for more services from the county, because I don't know where the money comes from for those services. We're trying to maintain the services that people are used to. But I got to ask your listeners out there, what is it you really want the county to supply? My opinion, first and foremost, is public safety. Other than that, I know we have to have our community development department for buildings. But what more could we do, or what less would we want to do? I'd like to hear from the constituents about what they would like to see us do as far as services go, because sometimes I wonder, what are we creating these services that hardly anybody uses, or do they really use these services?
What services are in jeopardy right now?
Well, I don't think there's any.
We're pretty down to bare bones, aren't we?
There's nothing in jeopardy. The departments are still doing everything they need to do. No, there's been no cuts in departments. The departments are still the same as they've always been within the county. And I think the service level is still at the level that it used to be in the county. So what we just did is we've cut a little bit of overhead from upper management that was high paid. And I think if people see the wages that some of these directors make, they might be just shocked. I mean, shocked at how much money they make. But they don't think about that much, but we pay these people very handsomely in the county. They get paid real well, and they have good benefits. So, and we don't want to lose anybody, because we appreciate the quality of help we have here, because they're all qualified people. But it does make it tough when you have a lowest tax rate in the state, and then people are wanting more and more and more. Government's not the answer. Government is not the answer. It's like Ronald Reagan said, government's not the answer. A lot of times it's the problem. So you know, how can you help the county out? You know, what did Kennedy say? Don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Maybe we need more of that attitude in Josephine County. What can you do to help the county weather these hard times?
Yeah, what would you like to see coming from your constituency here in terms of is it volunteerism? Is it contributions? Is it ideas?
I think ideas are the biggest thing. I mean, the world runs on great ideas. Invention is always caused from great ideas. Progress comes from great ideas. So I'm open for any idea that they can figure out how we can bring more funding or better services to Josephine County. I'm there because I represent the people. But if I don't hear from them, and I sit in my office a lot of times and I don't hear from people at all, I hear from them in weekly business session, but they don't want to call me, or they don't want to come in for some reason. But they want to come and complain.
You want to put a phone number out there?
Yeah. I got the phone number. It's right there. It's on the webpage.
Oh, okay. All right. Check your webpage, and we'll check a couple of other things. But right now, we want you to check these fine sponsors here for KAJO Radio.
At last.
Welcome back, everyone. County Commissioner Ron Smith is in studio with us, and we've been talking about lots of things here today. We're talking about the sheriff's office and, the library. The whole thing has been covered here. And, Ron, off the air right now, we were just chatting a little bit, and you're saying what one thing that this county really needs is a boost in the economy. And how do we go about doing that? And as a commissioner, what can you do to encourage some of that?
Well, one thing I said in my campaign, and I still am working on, is the North Valley Industrial Park. There's room up there for more people and for expansion. So I am working on some things that hopefully brings I'm looking at possibly 80 jobs that we can bring to the county. But it's going to take a cooperation between the community development and the commissioner's office and the private entities who want to do that expansion at the North Valley Industrial Park. I think that's one place we can go. Our county has depended for almost from the day it was existed on production from the federally controlled land. We need to figure out how we're going to get some of that back. We need some of that back. We'll never go back to the heyday, I don't think, of when we had 30 sawmills in the county, albeit a lot of them were small. But any tree that's harvested now in our county does not get made into lumber here. So all those jobs that were in the mill are gone. Yeah, nobody's going to start up a mill in Josephine County without an assurance of a long-term access to timber. So I don't see a mill in our future.
Hasn't the president issued some executive orders to help that situation? And where do those stand right now? Do you know?
Well, I've been looking into those, and I've contacted the Forest Service and a BLM and our federal representative, Bentz. Most of those executive orders are very good. I've read them when they first came down. I was hoping they would hit the ground sooner, but they really haven't hit down here at the local level yet. I don't think they're even at the regional level. But I did get encouraged because I went to a meeting in the Illinois Valley with the National Park Service and the DOI on a Zoom meeting about more coordination between the local communities, like the gateway community of Cave Junction is the gateway community for the Oregon Caves. So there is some movement in that area to get more coordination and more cooperation between local communities and the federal agencies. And that was encouraging to me. So I'm looking forward to how that proceeds. And because, that's an asset for Cave Junction to have the Oregon Caves there, but not if we don't promote it and utilize that national monument we have out there.
So you're encouraging more promotion for certainly the Oregon Caves and the area in particular. How do we go about that?
I think there's some good things happening at the airport out there, the Illinois Valley Airport. That's an empowerment zone. It's just it can be handled the same way. It's a self-sufficient. Both the airports are combined now. But there's been a fuel station out there that they never had before. That fuel station will bring a lot more people into landing at the IV airport because they can get fuel. And we're going to keep the price low at that fuel station to help bring some customers into there. Hopefully we can attract some businesses to that to an industrial park that's already out there that needs some more infrastructure. But I think that's a gem of a place for a long-term future for the Illinois Valley is that airport. It's a big attraction. We just got to utilize it.
What industries could we put out there? Well, and that might be interesting. That would fit.
Well, in the past, there was somebody who wanted to build drones out there.
Okay.
But that got shot down because people were afraid of drones. But, I mean, that could have been a good business to build drones out there. There used to be a thriving ultralight community out there that flew ultralights. Any kind of business where you can manufacture, light manufacturing, creates good paying jobs. But we as a county have got to be business friendly. So I've heard too many stories about people coming here wanting to do business, but it was so hard to get through all the red tape, they just went someplace else. We don't want to be that. We want to roll out the red carpet and encourage people to come here. If we can, find a way to give some tax incentives, roll out the red carpet for building permits and get this building stuff done. That's kind of what I'm working on at the North Valley Industrial Park right now.
Is it county red tape that is pushing these businesses away? And how do we fix it?
I actually think it was more city. The okay. city, several years back before I was elected, I was at a, what they called a rent burden meeting. Mm-hmm. They were discussing how much people were paying for the housing, you know, way, way high. And a prominent developer got up and spoke to the council and said, you know, I could develop a piece of a commercial property in Medford at half the cost as I can at Grants Pass. Why is that? We shouldn't be that way. We should be friendly. We if you go to Medford, they're building stuff everywhere. Have you been over there lately, Chuck? They're building everywhere.
I try to stay home, quite frankly.
I do too, but I've been over
I'm here
there.
By choice.
But yeah, me too, but I've been over there. They're building everywhere. We need to be that friendly. We need to open up our community to economic development. And that takes cooperation between the city and the county and private industry.
Ron, I'm down to my last 5 minutes here.
Okay.
What do people need to take away from this? What do people need to know about the county right now? And how do they get involved? And where would you like to see that community involvement?
Well, I'd love to have the community come forward with ideas. We have an idea box outside the door. Nobody ever puts any ideas in there. So, but
there might be some you wouldn't want.
Well, that could be possible. But, you know, you take the good with the bad. You know, that's how you improve is you take the good with the bad. I'd like to see more community involvement. Not just when you got an issue that's concerned for you, but how about a group getting together that's concerned about economic development? I'd love to see that. Anybody want to spearhead something like that where we can get together and talk about how we can bring economy here? Because I think that's one of our biggest problems, economy. And so I would love any ideas, and I'm open to have anybody talk to me about any subject they want, anytime they want.
It appears the city has really been focusing on bringing in some economic development here. I know they talk about that a lot. Do we need a task force combined with the city and county together? Is that possible? And I know you meet occasionally with the city council. Has that been talked about?
I think that's a good idea, and I don't think we have that working yet, but I think that's a step in the right direction. So maybe I'll get together and we'll talk with whoever need to in the city and see what they're doing in that area, because we're one and the same. You can't separate Josephine County from Grants Pass because you got about 50% of the population lives in Grants Pass. So, yeah, we need to work together as both governments to try to bring economic development here. It's a big deal. Economic development, a prosperous community doesn't have all the problems we have. They just don't. Prosperity and money in people's pockets cure a lot of problems. I think that's a big, big step forward in the right direction. What are we going to do to replace timber? I would like to answer that from my constituents. What are we going to do to replace timber? I heard people say in the past, well, marijuana will. Well, I don't think so. It is an economy. You can't deny the fact that it is an economy in our community, and it's become legal to a vote of the people. But it also creates a lot of problems that you don't have. But if you think about one tree, from the time it gets harvested from the forest, by the time it reaches a house, it creates hundreds and hundreds of jobs. Is there anything out there? Is there anything out there that we can bring to our community to do something similar? That's what I'd like to find.
All right. Well, there are a couple of things out there. I know the city is promoting more and more their new park up on the northwest side of town. Hopefully that will bring in people. We've talked about the Oregon Cave, so and I know the city has a promotional program going here. Once again, I keep thinking that we need to combine task forces.
Yeah, not a bad idea, and I'll reach out and see what we can do about that. I think light manufacturing creates jobs. Tourism is great, but it's seasonal, and when we get smoky summers, it doesn't do so well. We've been fortunate this year, and I really got to commend the federal agencies and the Department of Forestry for the state, how good they've been about attacking these fires and cutting them out, because they've done an excellent job this year.
They have jumped on everything quickly.
Yes, and that's been a real blessing for us, because I know what it's like to live here when it's smoky. I know what it's like. I know a lot of people told me I'm leaving. If these summers stay like this, I'm leaving. So we got winter, fall, and fire season. Used to have summer.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Final thoughts, Ron. What do we need to know about Josephine County?
Josephine County is doing fine considering the money we have. And we could always use more funding. That's been a problem for a long time. I think community involvement is the biggest thing we can do. get involved in your community, not just on the issue that's close to your heart, but on all the issues, especially the economic issue. If you think about it, a strong, prosperous community is a lot happier and safer community than a poor, depressed community. Let's not be a poor, depressed. Let's try to make County, Josephine County, more prosperous for the future.
Josephine County Commissioner Ron Smith, thank you very much today. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO.
Hey, can you?